All right. Well, great to be with you guys. Welcome back to Midweek on Zoom. As the Brents mentioned, this is new for us. And then going into the fall semester, we didn't think we'd be doing this, but just real briefly, there's just some topics, some lessons that we want to do for you guys that we feel like would be needed. And these times on Wednesdays, it can be harder to have a lesson for the whole ministry when we're split up in these different community groups. And so we're not going to be on Zoom all the time, but when we feel like there's a lesson that is great for our ministry to hear or a topic that we want to talk about, we're going to hop on here. But our goal is just to do from 7 to 8. So we don't want to be on Zoom for hours. We know you guys have homework and other things, but part of really building our ministry and the culture and who we want to be for Christ is sometimes we have to talk about things that are needed for every disciple to grow in. And this lesson that I'm going to do tonight, we've done a version of it before. This is something we've talked about before since starting the campus region. But for some of us on the call tonight, you're new to the campus region. For some of us on the call tonight, maybe you're in a different discipling relationship than you were a year ago or 2 years ago. But tonight we're going to be talking about how to have healthy, effective discipling relationships. And more specifically, we're going to talk about discipling groups, peer discipling, as we're meeting every other Wednesday in these discipling groups together, as was mentioned earlier, and as you guys know. But I'm really excited about this. I'm going to, after I do this lesson, we'll split up and we'll have a women's breakout room and a men's breakout room just to discuss what we learned, what we got from the scriptures. And talk about how we want to grow in this. And so be ready to share in those groups things that stuck out to you, and just to encourage each other in those breakout rooms. But you guys can be turning your Bibles over to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look there in just a moment. And I just want to start by encouraging you guys before I kind of get more into the meat of the lesson here. I just want to say just how grateful I am to be a part of this ministry, of this family. And it's been so cool just to see you guys growing, to see your faith, even as you all have started this semester, just seeing your desire to please God, to be a light on your campus. It's so encouraging being at Lehman College today for their club fair, seeing their table and just meeting people. I think there was over 20 or something, 20, 30 contacts that they got, just being a light there as one of the Christian clubs, and just the friends that they're meeting. You guys are being such a light. And I believe that this is a group that really deeply loves God and that you guys want to grow. You want to help each other grow. And I know for me, when I was about a sophomore in college, I kind of got to this place where I had other people helping me grow for a lot of my Christianity, especially in high school. But I was really like, man, I want to know how to help my friends grow. I want to know how to help people in a discipling group setting. And I want to be used by God to not only grow myself, but to help others grow. And I think that's all of your heart. We're just grateful to, for Hannah and I to follow Jesus alongside you guys and to be building God's kingdom together. But the truth is if we want to be the Christians that we want to be for God, and if we want to be the ministry, a dynamic ministry that God has called us to be, we need one another. We need these discipling relationships. And only more and more as we grow in our faith, as we're given more responsibilities in life. And so we need one another. I want to talk about just briefly an overview. For some of you, this might not be new, but I think it's important to be reminded of just what is discipling. It's a word we hear a lot, especially if you've grown up around church. But what is discipling? We see in the Gospels that Jesus took 12 ordinary people and he made them into the most influential world changers of all time. That's really, when you think about it, what happened. Jesus was so good, so influential, so focused on these friendships he had with his disciples that he made them world changers. He invested in them. You know, in Mark 1, he says, "I'll make you fishers of men." He made them into something amazing for God, but it was a process. He makes them into something great by investing in them and challenging their standards of life constantly, constantly calling them back to God, constantly helping them see the heart of God, helping them see their pride, helping them see where they can grow. Jesus was relentless in his love for his disciples, but also in training them. We see Jesus build deep friendships with men and women, and he calls them to follow him to the T. This is what he did. He calls his followers to a whole new way of life. He calls them to repent, to be humble, to be servants, and in short, to follow him wherever he goes, wherever that was going to take them. That was discipling for Jesus' disciples. We're going to be with you. We're going to follow you. We're going to become like you, and we're going to do what you do. That was what their relationship with Jesus was all about. And so it should be the same with us, right? We've talked about this before, but discipleship in a nutshell is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. That's why we're here. That's why we decided to follow Jesus. That's why we're a campus ministry. We're not just event planners. You know, we do have amazing events. We're not just people that put on a great Sunday worship service. We're people trying to become like Jesus. And if we can do that, then we can change the world. And so we see clearly all throughout the Gospels, Jesus is calling his followers to this one another way, right? That's another title you could say for discipling. It's just the one another way, not doing life alone, but doing life with one another. He calls them to love one another, to encourage one another, to be patient with one another, to bear with one another, to carry one another's burdens. I mean, the list goes on. That word, obviously one another, is two words in English, but one word in the Greek, allelon, meaning one another. It's used 100 times in 94 New Testament verses. So again, I only say that to say that this is something that saturates the scriptures. It's part of the DNA of the first century church. It's part of who God is in his heart. And so this word, allelon, it keeps coming up, specific commands talking about one another, not singular things, but corporate ways of serving one another and loving God. And so in short, the Bible is calling all of us to mutually help each other be more like Jesus, to do that together. And the purpose of discipling is just this, to become more like Christ, right? That's our aim. That's our goal. But we can't become more like Christ without community, without great relationships that aren't just fun, which is awesome. We have a lot of fun relationships here, but that are spiritual and where Jesus is the glue. And we're going to talk more about relationships on Sunday, relationships in Christ, and we'll get into that. But tonight is kind of like part one, almost, you could say, but more focused on discipling and in these D groups. And Sunday will kind of broaden this idea more. But when we read here in Ephesians chapter 4, let's start in verse 22. And I know that, you know, obviously I can't hear you guys, but let's have fun in the chat. I know it's been a little bit since we've been on Zoom, but hey, if there's something that helps you, feel free to be vocal in the chat. Go ahead and distract me. I dare you to see if you can distract me from preaching the word. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Let's start here, verse 22. Paul says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So Paul is writing here to the church in Ephesus, and he's trying to make some points. This is Ephesians chapter 4, starting verse 22. We just read 22 to 25. And he's saying, hey, you were taught to put off your sinful self. Oh, just got to mute themselves. Got it. To put off the sinful nature, the ways of your old life before Christ. So there's this putting off of the flesh, and there's this putting on of the new self. And the Bible talks about us as the church, as Christ's bride, being one new humanity, right? That's God's vision, is through his blood, through Jesus, that he would create one new people, one new humanity, to show people who God is. And so we're made to put on the new self, right? To be made new in the attitudes of our minds, and to become like God in that process as we help one another do that. And so it's not just that we become a Christian and, you know, get baptized, become a believer, and that then we're good. And then, wow, I'm saved now. And that's awesome. Praise God for that. But that baptism, as we know, guys, is just the beginning. And as soon as we get out of the water, we start and we continue to be laser focused on being made new. You're made new in the waters, but we're constantly being made, molded into the likeness of Jesus as we grow in our faith. And we become way more like Jesus post-baptism than during our Bible studies, as we learn about what it means to follow Jesus. And so Paul's saying, look, this new self, this gift that we have to be a new creation, we were created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Isn't that amazing? That is what God wants, and that we don't have to feel overwhelmed by that, because we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, and we have relationships with one another to help us become more like the God who made us in his image. And so wouldn't it make sense that if that's what God wants us to become, right, more like God, wouldn't it make sense that God would bless us with close relationships that would help us fulfill our God-given purpose, that would help us live that out, and that we need each other to do that? I think it makes sense. God knows what he's doing, obviously. And so God has a pathway to this end goal of us becoming more like God, more like Jesus, right? God has a way to that, and that is discipling relationships. Sorry, let me just find my place here. Thank you. And so again, that can sound overwhelming, like, wow, this is a lot, but what a gift that we as sinners, as people who have hurt God time and time again, that he's saying, hey, I'm not giving up on you. I have a vision for you to be like me. And I have a vision for you as sinners, as broken people, broken vessels, to help each other achieve this, right? And so we have to ask ourselves, are we really valuing God's pathway, God's plan to be made new? Is it just God's plan, or is it also our plan? Is it what we want? Do we want discipling? Do we want the one another way? You know, discipling is also about friendship. It's about a safe space, a safe place where you can trust people, where you can confess to people, let them into your life, and simply do life together. And the more we go after that, the more God will work through those conversations, those relationships, to help us see our blind spots, to help us see the things that we do need to change. Now, it does take time to build those kind of friendships and relationships where we feel like, hey, there's not one thing I wouldn't be able to share with you. But we need to be committed to it. We need to be the kind of people that we want to build trust. We want to build those friendships that open doors for more righteousness, for more holiness, and to be more like Christ. You know, something this semester that we've kind of leaned into more and want to see happen more is not just one-on-one discipling, but discipling groups, D groups. And these are happening every other week. For some of us, we do those Wednesday nights kind of as our midweek. For other groups, you do that when you're free in the week to meet with your discipling group. But our vision for these times, guys, isn't just for the D group leader to sit down with two to three people and one by one address them and disciple them, but for it to be communal, for it to be collaborative, that as your discipling group meets, that you're helping one another, right? So, you know, for me, that's John, that's Delson. That's also meeting with Nick and Chris. And in those times, you know, one thing that I'm looking forward to is seeing those guys, seeing us help one another as we meet up. And that's something that we really want to put before you guys as a ministry, is to really prioritize your D group time. And that's really a sacred time each week for us to come prepared and for us to come to encourage one another. You know, there's a lot of things we do in the week, but there's nothing more important, hey Jace, than meeting with fellow disciples and helping each other grow. That's a sacred time. And so ask yourself, have you been valuing that time so far this semester? Has that been something that you've been initiating? And so we want to build a culture of inspiring peer D groups, discipling groups. And we're really praying that as we get into the rest of the fall semester, that can become something that we get really good at. And we'll continue to talk about more. And so the question I really want to put before you is, do you value discipling? Is it valuable to you? When something is valuable or important to us, we make time for it. We think about it. Our hearts are invested in it. We see the need for it. But do you see the need for other people helping you grow in your Christianity? Do you see the need for it, not just when it's convenient, but consistently and every week? Guys, each of us need to see the value of someone speaking truth to us through the Word of God, challenging our thoughts, our actions, our pride, challenging our thinking on certain things, and helping us see Jesus more clearly. We're all sinners, right? We all don't have it going on perfectly, but we can point people to Jesus. We can point one another to the only person who ever did it perfectly right. And so we have to be humble, guys. We have to be people that really want to speak biblical truth and give that to someone, but also be able to receive it and honestly be eager for it, be excited for it, you know, to have people maybe use that double-edged sword and then certain D groups that it will cut a little bit. It will sting a little bit, but it's not because we're trying to be rude or mean to each other, but sometimes the Holy Spirit, a lot of the times, the Holy Spirit convicts. And when the Holy Spirit convicts, we feel it, we know it. And we got to give each other the green light to let the Holy Spirit use us to bring conviction, to bring repentance to our lives. But are you letting people speak truth into your life? You know, is that something that you desire more and more? You know, I love my friendship with John Oladosu. You know, for those of you who know John, John is just so good at asking questions. It's almost a little freaky. Like as soon as I finish answering a question, he's got another one, you know, and then sometimes I'll ask him like, did you come with these? And he's like, no, I'm just asking questions. I'm just curious, you know, but sometimes he does come ready, prepared. He's ready to go. But I appreciate that about my friendship with John is anytime we're getting time, whether that's like a planned discipling time or if we're just on campus, he's always firing off questions about faith, about God, sometimes about other things, about, you know, just life stuff. And I learned from John in that way. Every time I leave hanging out with him, I'm like, man, I need to grow in being a master asker at asking questions, not just to people I look up to, but my peers and people that have just become Christians, right? But are you good? Are you good at asking questions? Or do you show up to discipling time without anything, making it harder for your friend or your peer or your discipler to help you? Are you being humble, or do you make it hard for people to help you, to simply help you have a better life, have a better walk with God? You know, humility is the path to spiritual growth, point blank, full stop. It's just, you are not going to grow if you don't pursue humility. Couple scriptures on that. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. James 1:19-21. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Proverbs 12:1, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. Amen. We need those scriptures on humility. I could have read like dozens more, but those are some that convict me and help me to think about, man, am I being humble in my friendships with others, especially those that I'm in a discipling group or relationship with? And I do want to say, and just to clarify, that I think overall, over the past, you know, couple of years of being a ministry, I've seen us really grow in this. You know, I think we can all agree that from the time we started the Campus Region till now, we are way closer in our friendships. We are way more of a family than we used to be. And we've had some deep talks in recent months and years. And I think this is something that we've taken higher. But as we grow as a ministry, as people are added to our ministry, we have to keep fighting for this culture. It's not going to come easy, guys, especially as we see people get baptized and are brand new to the way of Jesus and to the church. They're going to need you to set the example of what discipling relationships are like, and that they're good, that they're healthy, that they're awesome, right? That they bring life, right? We don't want people to get baptized and come into our ministry and for us to make discipling weird for them, right? But we want to make it a joy. We want them to come into a discipling group and feel like, man, this is awesome. We do this every week. We just help each other grow and encourage one another and give scriptures to each other and pray and be more like Jesus. That's awesome, right? That's the kind of culture we want to build, but it has to start with us. And specifically for you guys as the students in this ministry. And so I want to give some practicals here as we think about these discipling groups and as we think about having a learner's heart, really, and what that looks like. And so, you know, feel free to jot these down. Some of these you might be doing already and you're great at, and that's awesome. Keep doing it. Some of these you might not be doing, and they might be helpful to you with your friendships that you have and your discipling relationships. One of them is, this is a very simple thing. You initiate setting up your time with your D group, right? So maybe you meet with two other people, maybe three. Be the one that says, hey, are we still good for Wednesday at 7? Or if there's another time, hey, are we good for this time this week? Is there anything you guys want to talk about? You know, don't wait for someone else to ask or confirm when are we getting time, right? Simple thing goes a long way, and it just helps those times be planned and be consistent each week. So initiate that time with the people in your D group. Another thing is, you know, come ready with things that you want to get off your heart. You know, it could be sin that you feel like, man, I need to confess. Or it's just maybe there's things that have happened in the week that you're still trying to figure out how to process or how to bring to God. But have a few bullet points on your phone or notebook of, here's some things that I got to get off my heart. You know, these are people I'm doing life with. I got to share these things, not just to dump and to vent, but to get the help that you need, right? And maybe after you share what's going on, say, is there a scripture that you think could help me? Is there something that's helped you with this in the past, right? So coming with things that you know you need to talk about, to get the help that you need, the guidance that you need, to bring that to God. You know, another practical is, and I love this when it happens, is coming ready with things you want to encourage the people in your D group with. All right, let's say you notice them do something great for a friend recently, or if they were bold on campus, or if you were over at their family's house and you saw them being such a servant or anything, right? But man, come ready to encourage. Come ready to think about, how could I build up this brother? How could I build up this sister? How could I make their day right now by being someone who is coming ready to encourage? You know, so maybe jot a couple of those things down as you think about your group. And you don't have to wait till your official D group time to do that. You can text them that. You can call them in the day. Do it throughout the week. You don't have to wait to encourage. But one of the best questions, and this is just a practical question to ask, is when you're in that group, and not only when you're in that group, but just with any fellow Christian, just asking, hey, How do you think I can become more like Jesus? What do you see in me, right? And typically you want to ask this to people that know you well, but asking them, hey, what do you see in me, bro? What do you see in me, sis? How can I become more like Jesus in my character? What are the weaknesses that could become strengths, right? That question alone will open up some great conversation. I'm trying to grow in asking that. You know, that's something that I feel like, man, if I ask that more consistently, I can be a better man of God, can be a better husband, can be a better father, I can be a better campus minister. So let's make that a normal question, you know, that we ask one another because we have that desire to be more like Christ. Let me just check if there's any other practicals here. I think those are the main things. And, you know, feel free to put in the chat things that you feel encouraged by in a D group, or things that help you make the most of those discipling relationships. You know, one thing I will say is that the way those times each week, right, every other week we'll meet for those D groups, the way those times are going to get better and better is by the time outside of D group that you're in each other's lives, that you have a group text, that you have a consistent friendship, walking through life together. So that way, when you do meet up, it's not like, how's the past week of your life been? But you're in there with someone, right? And so that when we do meet up, it's more so picking up where we've left off, talking about things maybe we were already talking about the day before. You know, Luke 6, verse 40, Jesus says, the student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained or fully mature will be like their teacher. We want to be fully trained. We want to be equipped for every good work to become like our teacher, our master, Jesus. And that's got to be our heart. That's got to be our aim. And so for you, are you maturing? You know, I've asked this question to you guys before in a similar lesson. Are you maturing? How different are you really than you were this time at the beginning of the summer? How different are you really than even just 2 months ago? You know, what repentance has happened? What questions have you asked? What have you really studied out? You know, if we're not careful, we don't mature on the track that God has for our maturity, but rather we mature in the way Satan has planned for us, which is really a slow decline. But if we're focused on maturity, if we're really vigilant in that effort, then God will help us mature through these friendships, through these relationships. You know, last scripture I want to give you guys before we break to our breakout rooms here is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. One of my favorites: trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. There might be things that you feel like, I know that I got this going on, or I know that this is true about God, or I know that this is true about following Jesus, but lean into the idea that you might not always have the best understanding of a scripture, of an idea, or the best understanding of a friend or a fellow brother or sister that you're in a discipling relationship with, right? And so let's lean not on our own understanding, but let's trust in the Lord. Let's go to his word. Let's point each other back to scripture. And the more we do that, the more we're helping each other get to heaven. And at the end of the day, that's what these friendships in the church and our ministry is all about, helping each other make it to heaven, as Stephen so eloquently preached on Sunday, right? That's the goal, helping each other make it. And without these relationships, without the focused times that we want to have, we won't make it. You know, none of us are that great or without sin that will make it without this one another way. And so that's what I wanted to encourage you guys with tonight. And so as we head into next week and have our D groups, be ready for them. Make the most of them. Come prepared. Be excited about it. You know, choose a fun spot to have D group at. You know, maybe you want to get some dinner together. Maybe you want to do some hot pot. I don't know, but make it a fun time. You know, I remember one time I visited Boston campus. This is like my sophomore year. And I just remember it was so fun. I didn't know any of these guys. I just kind of hopped in. I was visiting. And at one moment we'd be laughing. And the next moment I'd be like, dang, did that bro really just say that? That was really intense what he just said. And then they'd be like, hey, you want some of this food? I brought this fried chicken, right? Like, it's D group can be fun. D group can honestly in some ways be a little bit messy, but if we're humble, it's going to be great. It's going to be encouraging. But let's be people that initiate it and make these awesome times, awesome relationships. Amen. And so I'm going to stop the recording here.